The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning in to our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple and Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening to this show or any previous shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour via our podcast on our website, www.thebestoftimesnews.com. You can listen to previously broadcast radio shows. In addition, you can go to Apple Podcasts, where we have over 900 shows on our Apple Podcasts under the Best of Times Radio Hour. We do thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're to learn about new treatments and procedures in the area of cerebrovascular diseases. So stay tuned to this radio show for some very beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, September the 14th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has not live and has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept calling questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the current September issue of the Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We do thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to pick up a copy, printed copy of our magazine, you can always visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues, as well as you can view the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. In addition, you can listen to previously broadcast radio shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. Each and every month, the Best of Times sends out a newsletter via e-blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers, primarily in Caddo and Bossier parishes of Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue, as well as links to read our Silver Pages as well. In addition, there are more educational articles that are not found in our printed current issue. It also includes discount coupons. It also includes a contest, and of course, news that you can use about upcoming events and activities. Join the many thousands who are receiving this TBT newsletter via the email address. It's free of charge. Just visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com and subscribe free of charge, and each and every month you'll be receiving this particular newsletter at your email address. Great news, our friends at Ernest Arlene's has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing, with fabulous meals at a highly discounted price, along with entertainment and, of course, free valet parking. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Best of Times Thursday night special to make reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, that's 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Abears, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Abears, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Dr. Ashi Sonig, who is the medical director of the Willis Knighton Neurovascular Institute. I've asked him to come on our show today to talk about the new institute in our area and how it will benefit patients with certain medical conditions. So thank you, Doc, for joining us today on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so actually, I was in Shreveport back in the year 2013. I did my skull-based neurosurgery fellowship. Skull-based fellowship is basically there are part of the brains which are very deep and difficult, so you need to have special training to access them. So that's the kind of training I did here back in the year 2013. Then I went back to Buffalo, did my endovascular fellowship and completed my other training. And I was in touch here with the Willis Knighton, and I loved the hospital when I was here because I used to rotate over there, and I loved the people, and loved the culture, I loved the environment. So something just kind of connected me to this place, and finally I'm here.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and you definitely know the area. So you're here in 2013, but now it's changed a little bit in those many years, hasn't it? 10 years?
Yeah, it is actually, and I would say it's just changed for the better.
Good.
The new shops have come, new multiplexes, and I think there's some part of Shreveport looks like it's like a completely different town, actually. If you go to South Shreveport, you can see a lot of development. So I'm kind of pretty happy, and my family was here too, and they love, like, all the time is spent here.
Though Buffalo is a bigger city, Doc, it has a lot of similarities. When I visited it there several times, and one thing is we have the Strand Theater, and they have their, I can't remember the name of it, they have a theater up there too, don't they?
Yeah.
A pretty fancy theater.
They have a performing arts. Correct, yeah, exactly. So I would say this, you're right, they are kind of very similar profile, except the weather, like snow.
Oh, yes.
But it's pretty much very similar in terms of, like, Buffalo is like spread out, but and kind of maybe say like 100K or 200K more population. But other than that, it's like pretty much similar people, similar culture, and similar work ethics. So for me, it was not like a huge transition. And before Buffalo, I was in New Jersey. I was an assistant professor in Rutgers University for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I moved here to Shreveport. It was like Shreveport, Buffalo, New Jersey, and then back to Shreveport. That kind of triangle.
You have a little blending in that. So, but again, there's a lot of similarities, and I always thought when I went to Buffalo, my friend took me to get Buffalo Wild Wings, the Buffalo Wings,
yes,
at the original place where they were founded by accident. And what a
Correct.
Story that is.
Yeah.
What a story that was. There's
and
so
that
many.
Place is actually just was a walking distance from our hospital.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where it's at.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, again, what got you interested in medicine?
Yeah, I would say for me, you know, my biggest passion was to be able to do something with my hands. You know, I love doing that. And I always knew when I was a kid that I need to be either, I used to work with like transistors, radio, like engineering kind of brain.
Okay.
And then my dad had a surgery when I was young. I mean, and nothing happened, you know, but I was very fascinated by the surgeons and when I was interacting with them. So that's where I realized I need to be a surgeon first. And that was in high school. And what came into neurosurgery was during my medical school, you rotate with different fields and specialty. And I was into one of the theaters in neurosurgery, operating theater. And there are some certain positions they operate. And in those positions, the patient is actually sitting. So it was basically like a kind of thing. A patient is sitting quietly under anesthesia. It's like a meditative state. And you're operating on the behind part of the brain. And that was so fascinating and intriguing that it just caught my attention. You said, like, no matter what, the only thing I need to do in my life is to be a neurosurgeon.
Wow.
So that's the first thing I did. I'm a fully trained neurosurgeon, board certified from India. Then I came here, Shreveport, and then I'm double boarded. I'm board certified surgeon from U.S. as well with another residency. And I'm also a vascular board certified dual trained neurosurgeon with a fellowship in skull base and endovascular neurosurgery.
A lot of credentials and a lot of experience, too. Not just the credentials, but the experience. So what part of India, may I ask?
So I'm from Delhi.
Yes.
I did my medical school from Bombay. And then my first neurosurgical training from India, or the only one that I had there, was from Bangalore. So, yeah, I lived in the big cities of India. So I'm not in love for big cities. That's why Sripura attracted me.
Oh, Delhi has, what, 45 million? When I visited there, there are a lot of people everywhere, but they're wonderful people. Yeah. So hopefully after the show, we'll talk a little bit about my recent trip for 3 weeks in India. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah. I had a remarkable time. What an experience itself. So eventually, all these accolades, you kept moving on to your current specialty now. And I'm sure you seem like you're enjoying it, right?
Yes, I'm loving it, actually. So, I mean, I'm thankful to Willis Natan. They gave me this opportunity to start the program, start the institute, and all the resources that I needed, giving me the infrastructure, because you need to have capability to do those kind of complex procedures. So we needed like a very special biplane angiographic machine, which we have now the most latest in the region.
Wow.
And we have our most modern operating microscope to do open brain surgery. So sometimes the patients may need either one of them. Maybe one of them, endovascular, which is the minimal invasive route, may not be the only best way of treating the brain aneurysms. So we're going to talk in detail about those aspects, but I'm just kind of indebted to Willis Natan that they gave me what I asked for, and we actually have a world-class place here. I can say that there is no neurosurgery that can happen in the world that cannot happen now in Willis Natan.
Well, that's a great statement there. Yeah. So instead of going throughout the places of the world, they can come here in the Shreveport and Bossier City area.
Yeah, there is nothing that needs a vascular, open vascular surgery or any skull-based surgery that we cannot offer treatment over here in this hospital that can be offered in any other part of the U.S.
But doctor also mentioned, I think my listeners probably missed this, there wasn't this before when you came here and established this institute, correct?
Yes, it was not there in Willis Natan, so I'm the one who started the program of vascular neurosurgery, and now Willis Natan is capable of giving this kind of services to the population.
Wow, that's pretty good. So let's go and... any more of your background you want to share with my listeners and me? I'm always fascinated by doctors' backgrounds and how they got into medicine and how they kept occasionally changing specialties.
Right. So for me, like as I said, from beginning, when I was in high school, I wanted to do something with my hands, being a surgeon, went to a med school, and then I realized I need to be a neurosurgeon. And for me, it's like going one step higher. So one of the other challenging branches of neurosurgery are skull-based neurosurgery, which is like very difficult, complex location to do open brain surgeries. Neurosurgery kind of developed gradually. Just to make the average listener understand, if you go back in the 60s and 70s, that year, cardiac surgeon used to do cardiac bypass operations. That was the only option if someone has a heart attack or something, you could do the bypasses. After that time, there were stents were invented. People can do angioplasty and stents, and which are much less invasive compared to open heart surgery. But if you see now, you will see that there are certain times or cases where you cannot have just endovascular approach of coronary artery stenting or stenting for the heart. Some patients still get quadruple bypass. So basically, there are certain cases where still open heart surgery is the only option and the best option. And in certain cases, the less invasive heart surgery, which we call endovascular or cardiologist or intervention cardiology, we call that, which where you put the stent and the angioplasty, right? They are more suitable. Similarly, neurosurgery evolved over time. Let's say back in the days 30 years ago or 40 years ago, when someone is having a brain aneurysm. Now, what is a brain aneurysm? Is people have vessels in the brain, the arteries, which are normal. Sometimes they have an outpouching like a balloon growing out. So that's called as aneurysm. And the balloon is kind of very risky, it can rupture. And when it ruptures, that event is catastrophic. And half of the patient, 50% of the patient, they won't even reach the hospital if it ruptures. And the other half who reaches the hospital are not in very good state. So the idea when you have the aneurysm, depending on how big it is, the location, and how it looks like in the shape, you offer treatment. Back 30 years ago, the only possible treatment was doing open brain surgery, where you basically cut open the skull of the brain, look at the brain, and go in there and use some special clips to put around the aneurysm. Things evolved, and I was trained in endovascular, which is the minimal invasive route to treat the aneurysm, and I'm trained at Buffalo, which is basically the birthplace of endovascular neurosurgery. My mentor, one of the mentors, Dr. Hopkins at Buffalo, he was the one who developed the program of endovascular neurosurgery, training neurosurgeons in endovascular approach. That's one of the world's leading or most prestigious training program. So at that place, we were trained in treating the aneurysm by putting a small catheter in the artery of your hand, radial artery, or the artery in your groin called as femoral artery. And you can go there up in the brain with small, small catheters and put some coils which are as thin as the size of the hair, a human hair.
Wow, that small?
Yeah, that some of them can be that small. So this is how the stage has developed from the time when we were treating the patients with big open brain surgeries. They were spending like 7 days in the hospitals and, you know, with all those morbidities. And now they can come in the morning, have a procedure, and they can start walking the same day after 6 hours. And next day they go home.
Amazing.
So things have changed here. So that's the part of fascination about the neurosurgery world. So that's what I did, you know. When I first came here, I did the skull base, went to Buffalo, the best place in the world, for endovascular training, did my other training, and then I kind of devoted my entire life for neurosurgery and vascular neurosurgery. So I just was stuck into my streams. I never changed my branch or specialization. This is what I was when I was in high school, when I went to med school. I want to be a neurosurgeon, and I'm still the same. A neurosurgeon.
But you're a specialty surgeon.
It gained further
like advances, medical advances,
yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So tell us your typical type patients. Only the patients that have aneurysm? What other parts of the?
No, I'm a neurosurgeon. So as a neurosurgeon, you know, you do what a general neurosurgeon can do, which is basically any patient with a brain bleed, spine problems, spine surgeries, which anyways I do it. Then I'm a skull-based surgeon. I treat tumors at difficult location because I have a special technique and special what we call as training for that. On top of that, I'm a vascular neurosurgeon also, that I can handle a complex vascular problem of the brain, either by the open means, which I have to do a craniotomy in some cases, or I can do just by endovascular or the minimal invasive means, just like our interventional cardiologist. We can go there. We call it endovascular neurosurgeon. So basically, I'm a skull-based surgeon which treats tumors at difficult location, and I'm also a trained vascular neurosurgeon. I can treat vascular problems of the brain. When I say vascular problem of the brain, we just described about aneurysms.
Right.
There are another ones which we call as a cluster of abnormal vessels in a brain. You know, the technical term is malformations. It's called as arterial venous malformation, or AVM, which in layman terms means in some patients they are born with abnormal brain vessel which becomes like a cluster. And the arteries kind of directly feed into the vein without the capillaries intervening. So in those patients, the venous pressure can sometimes be high and they can have a bleeding actually. So those are again special cases that needs to be seen by a vascular neurosurgeon, so you can treat them by a combination of therapy, which could involve partly going up there in that cluster and injecting now, not a coil, which is small, like a hair, but you can inject a special glue, actually, which seals them off. So there's a very, very different ways or technique you handle different pathology of the brain. And not only that, so just 10 years ago, if the patient used to come with stroke, we know that what is stroke now. Since we're talking about aneurysm, AVM, we should also talk about stroke. Stroke used to be just a medical disease, basically. People will have stroke, they will come to the hospital, they will be given a clot-busting medication, and that's it. Mm-hmm. The clot-busting medication will work only in 25% or 10% times. That's it. So when I was in Buffalo, we were part of the largest trial that happened in the entire North America. It was a Swift Prime study. We were the largest recruiters of that, and we successfully proved during the trials, which happened like multiple places in the world too, that if you go inside a brain through the vessels, by staying inside the vessels, and you can take the clot out, patients can have really good outcomes. So that's called as technically mechanical thrombectomy. Mechanical means that I'm going with small, small catheters from the femoral artery or the radial artery into the brain, and with a special device, I suck the clot out of the brain inside. So patient can have normal flow. That is the change that happened in the year 2016 when all the guidelines came, 2014 and 15 basically, and then the guidelines came later. That's a pretty recent, just like 10 years ago.
Right.
So this was not possible before 10 years. Now it is possible, stroke thrombectomy. So if someone is having a stroke, Villesnatten now, once we are going to start, it's called as a thrombectomy capable center, meaning you can do the mechanical thrombectomy now. We have already performed some of them, mechanical thrombectomies, but we will be in the next couple of months fully functional in terms of providing a 24/7 coverage to the community.
So that is, instead of dissolving the clot,
yes,
you pull it, which has advantages, correct?
Absolutely. So when you pull the clot, the blood flow goes in and patient can be near normal actually. So it can happen that patient is coming with complete plegia, means completely weak on one side of the body, not able to speak. And if you take it on time, the right time is within the 6 hours, the best time I would say. Mm-hmm. And then the outcomes can be really great. You can see the immediate effect. Next day morning, patient will be like as if nothing happened to him.
Wow, what a medical advance that is, Doc.
And now it has changed that you can even go and do those procedures even within the 24 hours, not just for 6 hours.
Oh, within 24
hours. Within 24 hours, yes.
That is amazing. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Dr. Ashi Sonig, right? Sonig, who is the medical director of the new Willis-Knighton Neurovascular Institute. He's discussing the new institute in our area and how it will greatly benefit patients with certain conditions and diseases. So thank you, Doc, again for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's been fascinating in our first segment, and now we're going to continue on quickly because I know my listeners out there is, how do physicians diagnose a person, a loved one, having a condition that your institute could treat?
Correct. So I'll tell you what happens is that the first step is the patient should know or be educated about the warning symptoms first. So anything they feel abnormal about their body, in the sense, and I'm not thinking right, I'm kind of confused, I'm thinking like cloudy or foggy. And if some patients, family members notice, hey, your face is drooping to one side compared to the other.
Oh, okay.
Or if you say, my right hand is not feeling correct, it's like not moving the way the left is moving. Or I'm getting some kind of very tingly numbness, paresthesias, or I'm feeling very weak, or I'm very ataxic. I'm feeling when I'm walking, I'm like walking like a drunk person. And these are the kind of possible signs of something is wrong, is happening in your brain. Now, these our symptoms cannot just be because of stroke. It could be because that you may have a brain tumor also in your brain that can cause these kind of problems, or you can have a stroke which is happening in your brain. So this, do not ignore these warning signs and symptoms. Other thing is that if you are noticing that, oh my God, I have such bad excruciating headache, like the worst headache of my life, that can also be a warning symptom of an underlying aneurysm. If you notice that one of my eyelids is more droopy compared to the other, so anything which is abnormal in your routine sense, you will pick it up. Don't ignore this. Go to the nearest ER. And if you are here in Shreveport, visit the Willis-Knighton Medical Center.
And so the physicians do various tests, including...
Yes, so when they come here... Yeah, exactly. So when the patient will come here, there's the doctors who will be there in the ED. They will examine and we'll be in touch with them. And the first step they will be doing is doing a CT scan. CT scan is just like an X-ray of your chest. So you do the CT scan. This will tell you whether you have any brain tumor roughly or a bleed or something will pick it up. Then comes the next level of specialized testing. It's called a CT angiogram. Angiogram meaning angio is blood vessels. Gram is like you're putting a contrast into your artery, into your vein through a peripheral IV cannula. Simple thing, and then you go to a CT scanner and the machine takes all the pictures. After that, there's another thing called a CT brain perfusion, which we have that capability at all the three hospitals in Willis-Knighton, which is Willis-Knighton-Bossier, Willis-Knighton-Piermont, and Willis-Knighton, the main center of the medical center, where the neurovascular institute is. So those places will have the capability to do a brain perfusion. Now, brain perfusion can check which part of the brain is getting less blood flow compared to the others. The fun part is, when they're doing all those testing, I can get the results, the images, in real time in my phone.
Wow.
So we have this new software, which basically, or image software, which we are connected with all the three hospitals, that I can see any imaging that is happening in real time with a stroke. The technician over there has to just push one button on the keypad, and I get my notification in my phone that images are there, and I can review it real time. And then, if, let's say, assume this patient has a stroke, and I see there's a blocked vessel, then I will be in touch with the ER doctors and the on-call neurologist, and we'll say, you know what, this is the time to take the patient for the surgery, which is called as mechanical thrombectomy. We'll activate our team, the team will come, and patient should be inside the room as soon as possible, and the surgery can happen. It actually has happened within like 40 minutes of patient stepping into the hospital.
Wow.
If you step in the hospital now, the procedure will possibly be done in a 1 hour time or maybe a 90 minutes time.
Wow. So the timing is the important thing, even any kind of stroke, any kind of brain issue.
Yes,
right?
Time is brain. That's what people say. Time is brain. Every second, millions of neurons die. So basically, time is so important. The sooner you have having the symptoms, do not ignore. Go to the hospital. And once you are there, all the workup is to be done in very fast manner, and then the decision making is to be done very fastly, and then you will have a procedure on time, and if everything goes on time, then the outcomes are really good.
Wow, that's just totally remarkable in its well. But again, let's hope more and more people are avoiding this. But as you said, some people were born with these. I didn't know about this, the brain.
The vascular malformation, yes. Some of them are
What's the percentage of people having that in the world?
It's not that call. I would say maybe like roughly 3 to 4%. It's not very prevalent. But you see that in places which have a lot of population, I would say our area is pretty much, you know, I think the population must be something like 300K or 400K. So we even now in my last 6 months, I've seen at least like 10 or 11 patients with these.
Wow. That's a lot. That's quite a few.
Right. So the commonly they present either with a brain bleed or with seizures.
Okay.
They have like conversion kind of thing, and that's where you scan the brain, and that's where you find them. And then after the next step of investigation, you do what we call the diagnostic angiogram, when you put all the catheters in your arteries, in your neck, and the machine takes pictures.
So the other aspect of this is intervention is quickly. Diagnosis, so the telemetry, the scans, all this determines whether or not it is yes or no, correct?
Correct, exactly. So we are not wasting time in trying to log into a computer and see what the image is and somebody sending us. It's having everything in real time. And so whatever is happening in the ER, I'm completely aware of it. I'm looking at the pictures. We make decisions. So no time is lost in the interest of the patient.
And again, I want you to brag. There's aren't many other medical facilities throughout our catchment area that has this technique.
No, right? In the entire area of Shreveport-Bossier area, the only two places I believe is our hospital and LSU.
And you know, we're very proud to have this, instead of having to go to Chicago, New York, or Buffalo.
Correct.
That we have to just, because transporting somebody with a brain need to go to Buffalo, that's a couple long flights to get there.
That is a numero uno center. But yeah, I mean, the good thing is that now, since the time the program of fellowship was started in endovascular, it was, I would believe, early 2000 or late 1990s, there are a lot many people who are now graduated. And there are so many other programs that have come that we have a lot more cities and hospitals with that capability, which is good for the population.
It is good for the population. Yeah. Good for the healthcare of the individuals as well. Correct. So tell our listeners a little bit. You don't do everything. You have a team, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And the team is involved in other physicians, nurses, specialized
individuals. Yes, exactly. So this is all a specialized situation, you know. So as I said, I do the services at two parts. One is called as open brain surgeries. So we have these scrub nurses, OR techs. They are specially neuro-trained. So it's not like anyone can scrub for anything. You have nurses and techs and scrub techs. They're basically with a neurosurgical training background or experience that they assist me during the procedure. I have my own nurse practitioner and physician extenders that we have, which helps me during those procedures. In addition, when I'm doing those things endovascularly, which is a minimal invasive route, just like an interventional cardiologist would do cardiac stent, we do endovascular neurosurgery. We have a special biplane machine which is made only for neurointervention. That is the purpose of that special machine.
So what's a biplane? I don't understand. What does that
mean? So good question. So back in the years, you know, before this neuroangiography was invented, or if you look at the machine that the cardiologists use for putting a stent in the heart, it's a monoplane. Monoplane means that it gives you image only in one direction.
Oh.
Just imagine looking at the world with only one eye. Sometimes that is enough because in your cardiac, you just need that kind of precision for that because it's not possible to see it on the sides. And with all those rib cage and everything, you will not get good pictures. But you cannot be approximative in brain when you're talking about a millimeter of changes can mean anything.
A millimeter?
Yes.
Whoa.
That's where we have the machine coming in. It's a biplane. It's like looking at a particular object with two eyes. Hmm. Just imagine threading a needle with only one eye. You cannot do it. You need two eyes for that. So the biplane machine is like there are two arms which are completely perpendicular to each other. And they will both view at the same spot from a different angle to improve the accuracy. So that is the meaning of biplane. So
wow.
This is a machine that we have, and we have one of the most advanced machine in
that
the entire region.
Super sophisticated.
So you need to have neuro technicians trained in that, not an X-ray tech. You need to have an X-ray tech with an experience in neuroangiography to be part of that. You need to have a scrub tech with an experience. So we have a team of experienced people over here.
So Willis Knighton, and are you recruited these individuals
yes,
to come
have.
To Shreveport?
We have recruited them, and more are coming.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Awesome. We love it when more and more people come here to our wonderful Shreveport.
And not only that, you know, I should announce this, that we have our GME has already announced a fellowship training program in neuroendovascular.
Wow.
And we should soon be having our own fellows and pro-formal training program here as well to train the next generation of physician to cater to the community.
Well, that is another accolade that I'm very proud that you and the Institute is going to be doing as well. So what, as a co-medical director of the stroke centers, what does that mean?
So the stroke has two components. As we discussed earlier, that 10 years ago, the only option was that you will give a clot-busting medication to bust the clot out, right?
Right.
So that part is called as a medical management of stroke, which a neurologist, they take care of it. When you are trained in intervention, like endovascular, thrombectomies, doing the actual intervention, doing the treatment of the aneurysm, that comes the surgical aspect of stroke. So I am looking at the surgical aspect of the stroke, doing mechanical thrombectomy, the guidelines for that, how should things move around, and I'm helped by my colleague to support me for the medical management of stroke because you need both the capabilities.
True.
That's why you need like two people with different background to take care of each and every part of the stroke.
Wow, that's amazing. And I do you still do research and publish?
Yes, I do, actually.
How do you have all this time to do all these things? I'm amazed.
It's just passion. It just comes. Normally you have some idea. You're thinking about, you then make your hypothesis, and then you try to look for online literature if something has done or not being done. And that's how you submit the IRB, which is you need an approval of your
research.
Agency research. So that's how we do it, yeah.
Well, I'm very proud of you. You're an active man. I didn't even ask you, are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
Good. And, well, your wife hopefully sees you occasionally.
You know, yeah, she's also a physician. She's OBGYN.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Two physicians in the family. That's really good. You also speak, I was reading something, a lot of national conferences throughout the world.
Right.
Wow. Very, very touched and honored that you could get that invitation to go tell other physicians and other people throughout the world what you've done and what can be done in the future, right? So do you feel more medical advances in this field is going to be happening?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the advances which you might have heard about, you know, the Elon Musk firm, this is called as they are making a device which you can implant in the human brain, which basically patient with quadriplegia, like complete weakness of both upper and lower extremity, mm-hmm. they can be able to control few devices by their thoughts.
Wow.
So those few trials have happened. And there's another similar company which is making similar product that you can implant that device in the brain, not by doing an open brain surgery, just by endovascular means. You can go into the vein of the femoral vein up to the large vein of the brain here. It's called as superior sagittal sinus. It's in the midline. It's a huge brain. And you can put a special stent over there which has receptors which can basically see your, basically which can understand your, some of your basic thoughts.
Whoa.
And that thought is linked by a Bluetooth or another mechanism to some device to make basic decision. For example, you can say, send an email. You know, you can compose mm-hmm. your email and send it if a person who cannot do anything with their hands and legs. It's very, very initial, but this is the way the things are going in future.
That's like the ALS patients now. You're going to be taking care of those individuals probably, right?
Yeah.
That have to have no motor function.
Correct.
But they have eye and perfect brain.
Exactly. Right? Someone unfortunately wheelchair bound, cannot use either of the hands or legs, and they need to work or move around and, you know, talk to people, text to people, communicate basically. And in terms of like doing something, you know, like, or maybe they can have like own personal robot actually, and they want to give a command to that. So those are the things which are happening now as we are talking.
Wow, that is serious medical advance, which we probably would have never thought about that 20 years ago.
No, absolutely, and things keep changing. You know, one of the recent advances that happened just last year in October. So just we were talking about open and endovascular approach, right? It's always the standard or the gold standard. The first thing is always the open approach. So if someone has a blocked artery in the neck, right, the carotid artery, the gold standard till now was do an open carotid and arterectomy, which means that you open the neck, you put a clamp in the artery, both above and below the lesion, cut the artery, take all the gunk out, and then suture it. It's a big open procedure, which is kind of morbid. So the other alternative was, why can't you do a stent here, right? Just like right. We had for the coronaries.
Right.
Someone with a blocked artery, instead of bypass, just put a stent. Same thing is happening. Stenting of the carotids right. has been going on for the last like 15, 20 years, with more and more stents being made and more advanced. Now the technology has become so advanced and so overwhelmingly safe, like open surgery, that the Medicare basically published that both the options are equally good for the patient.
Mm. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so patients can choose what you want. In certain cases, one will suit the other. That has always been the case. So you basically, you can do what is in the interest of the patient.
That's important.
And I'm a dual trained neurosurgeon. I do both, actually. So I can open the carotids and take it out, and I can do the stenting also. So basically, like, I don't have a bias of one procedure over the other. That, oh, I'm only trained in this, only I can do this. I can do only open, that's only I can do. I can offer what is in the interest of the patient, actually.
That's great, Doc. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Barristan and Country Ocean Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Barristan and Country Ocean Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today as a special guest is Dr. Ashi Sonik, who is the medical director of the Willis Knighton Neurovascular Institute, and he's discussing his new institute in our area and how we will benefit patients with certain medical conditions. So thank you again, doctor, for joining us today.
Thank you.
So I want you to emphasize to my listeners out there, when are the conditions or symptoms that they possibly need to see a surgeon like you and your institute, a neurovascular institute?
Correct. So I think the best thing is I would advise that any person should have a good self-awareness. You should know what's happening wrong with me. And the same thing, you should have good awareness about your own family members. When you're looking at them, that something is not feeling right. As I explained, you can be feeling groggy, cloudy, sleepy, not able to walk properly, weak in one arm or the leg, or your face is drooping and you're not having a good train of thoughts, you're missing the right words. Those are the things that should prompt you to a visit to either your primary doctor or the ER. And for me, and if you're having these symptoms, which is called as neurosymptoms, they could most likely be because of the underlying brain tissue, brain problem, which could be a brain tumor, could be other what we call as a vascular brain problems, which could be ranging from aneurysm, a blockade in your brain arteries, or narrowing of your brain arteries, or there could be abnormal brain vessels which are there since your childbirth. So there could be a spectrum of things that can happen. In normal situation, if you go to your primary care doctor, he would then advise an MRI scan of the brain. Because in general, MRI scan is very, very sensitive. MRI is like a magnetic resonance imaging. It's another acronym. Basically, it does not have the radiation. It uses the magnetic energy to read your brain. So you can have number of MRI without worrying about getting a brain radiation. And that is also the most sensitive way of picking anything abnormal in your brain. It can pick whether you are having a stroke or not. It can tell you whether you had a stroke in the past.
It can even tell
you whether you are having an active stroke. It can tell you whether you had an active bleed. It can even tell you that your bleed is a remote bleed. It can tell you whether you have a brain tumor or not, and what kind of brain tumor also most likely. So this one step of having an MRI of the brain, that can basically identify most of your problems. At the same time, when you're doing the MRI, there is another study you can do. It's called as a MRA, which A is for angiogram. Basically, you will be in the scanner, and you will have the MRI. The next step would be an angiogram that can basically scan your entire brain vessel. It can tell you which one is abnormal, whether you have an aneurysm, some blocked artery, narrow artery, or some abnormal cluster of vessels. Now, they will tell you in general, like, okay, it is something is abnormal, but they are not highly accurate. So MRI is good for the other parts, tumors and a stroke and finding out other problems. And will give you some kind of an estimate that, yeah, this problem is there. You have some brain aneurysm, but what exactly is the size, shape, it will be difficult. That is a time when you have an abnormal MRI that you should visit someone with my background. So that if you have a brain tumor, if you have like a blocked artery, narrow artery, if you have a brain aneurysm, or if you have an abnormal cluster of brain vessels called as malformations, that's what the radiology report will say, you have a brain malformation. These are the things, if you have, or if you're told in your reporting or by a primary doctor, you should come to me. Or if you come to VillageNet in any way to the ER, they will consult me anyways.
Oh, that's good to know that you're always on call.
Yeah, I am actually most of the time on call initially because I need to set up the system, build the program, and once we grow further, then we'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm really proud of what I've learned so far. It's really, really remarkable that we have this. I mean, when I got the news release from the Willis Knighton Marketing, you know, I don't think a lot of people understood the importance of it. When I kept reading, I said, wow, this is very unique for our particular area. And I hate to say this, I've never heard about it at Willis at LSU Medical School, but it might be there, I should know. But when I saw this, I said, this is very proud that Willis Knighton decided to bring you back and establish this institute, because I was reading a little bit about it. Again, I'm proud of you and glad you're back and glad you have a team now. And that's the other thing I think you need to explain. It's not just having a regular scrub nurse. They're specialized in this particular field, correct?
Yeah, everyone here needs to have a special training in neuro procedures before you can actually start scrubbing or assisting people, the surgeons like me.
So a question that I think my listeners, so what is the outcome when you do these procedures? Is it a 50%, 70% favorable outcome?
Correct. So what happens is that it depends on how you come to the hospital and how complex your surgery is. Let's say when you have, like a couple of days ago, I did the first brain aneurysm treatment at Willis-Knighton. Not my first treatment, but at Willis-Knighton it was the first treatment. And this patient really had a complex brain aneurysm. And a procedure of this kind 10 years ago or 15 years ago would have meant an open brain surgery, a very complex, a very morbid procedure. And the chances of good outcome, I would say, was possibly like 25 or 50%. Now, because of the modern technology of putting a special stent called as flow diverting stent, which basically will keep the blood flow away from the aneurysm and keep the flow to the normal arteries like normally. So it's kind of selective. It will block the flow into the aneurysm.
Wow.
But it will not block the flow into the artery. That's why it's called as flow diverter. So when you put that, it's a very less morbid procedure. The complication rate is like less than 5% compared to the other open procedure. And the outcomes are that the patient next day was walking and she was walked back home, basically.
Amazing.
So
this diverts into the aneurysm instead of taking or correcting or stenting the aneurysm.
Exactly. So this is one aspect. So in neurosurgery, the good you are to begin with, the better the outcomes are. Except in stroke, you know, you could be like devastating complication that you woke up and you're finding that you cannot speak, you cannot raise your arms or legs. If you reach to the hospital, if the vessel is open, then 35% time you will be back to near normal. So this is the advantage of doing a thrombectomies compared to what it was like yesteryears, where 100% you will have a poor outcome. So now we have basically gone to a time when if you reach on time, then 35 to 50% of patients can have a good outcome.
And so what's the acronym? It used to be FAST or FACE?
Yeah, it is FAST, basically.
And tell our listeners what that means. FACE?
I remember
that. FACE?
FACE, to be honest, I don't want to guess. I forgot that. You can take this thing out from your presentation.
No problem. Yeah. No, there are symptoms about it, as you said. Facial,
I think that
facial part.
Because normally this FAST acronym is used by neurologists. And I think Louisiana uses a different one, actually. It's face, arms, speech, and time, basically.
So your arms, time. The time is it important,
yeah.
Right?
So you can rephrase this question. I can speak again, yeah.
He could do that. But so what is the most fascinating thing you think about your job you're enjoying?
I think for me, it's the most thing I am enjoying is that when you're able to do what you want to do, actually.
That's good.
That's the thing that I'm here, that I love the place, which I already discussed, in the hospital and the people around. But I found the patient population also treating them with those rare disorders or when they come see, we are very satisfying and gratifying, actually. So the satisfaction when I see on the patient face when they come, they are scared what's going to happen, what will be the outcome. And when they see that they are exactly the same as they were before the surgery, pretty much.
That's success.
Then they will say, oh my God, like I was thinking that I will never be able to talk to my family again and I will never be able to walk again. And they decide that you were in my brain, and to me it doesn't feel that anything was done over there. So that's the kind of satisfaction I get. That plus we are doing like the offering the highest care possible of the highest degree to the population of Shreveport region. As I said before, that there is no vascular treatment that is available in this country, which is not available here in town.
That's amazing. Again, I congratulate you. And I hope those patients and families, the family members, appreciate it. This is complex. This is not a simple procedure. These are complex, correct?
Right.
It takes a lot of skill.
They are complex, and I know they are good outcome, but things can go wrong, as you always know. But that's the understanding people have of neurosurgery. But as I said, with technology, the outcomes are getting much, much better. Your hospital time is getting much, much less.
Well, again, thank you for taking time today. I know you're a busy man. I'm really proud that to have you on our show and promote the Willis-Knighton Neurovascular Institute. Again, if people need to contact you, I think the number I have was 212-6797. Is that correct?
That is correct.
318-212-6797. 318-212-6797. Thank you again, doctor, for being on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me here, and it was really a moment of proud to me.
Please thank our sponsors and advertisers who make this radio show possible. Remember, tell your friends to listen to our show next Saturday for more information and news that they could use. Don't forget to pick up a personal copy of one of our magazines at the best of times at one of your 2,270 locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.